We're starting a study in the book of Zephaniah, one of the Old Testament prophets. We're in Zephaniah chapter 1, 1 to 2, 3 tonight. God's warning to his spiritually complacent people. One of the greatest threats to one's welfare is an attitude of complacency about sin. It not only blinds a person to the awfulness of sin itself, but it leaves him vulnerable to punishment by a perfectly righteous God. So God is perfect, and God is righteous in his perfection. And God cannot tolerate sin, so he has to judge it. He doesn't want to, but he has to judge it because that's his righteousness that demands it. So the prophet Zephaniah faced such complacency not only in Judah of his day, but in the nations around Judah that influenced her to sin. And God led him to address it with great application for us in our day-to-day. First of all, God warned his spiritually complacent people themselves. That's in the passage that we have tonight. The prophet Zephaniah ministered in an era of spiritual complacency in Judah. I think he was either a contemporary or he was pretty close to the other prophet that we'd studied. He served during the reign of King Josiah, 640 to 609 B.C. And Josiah repented and instituted reforms when the long-lost copy of the law had been found in the temple and it had been read before him. In 2 Kings 22 and 23, it's two very long chapters. I won't go into it here, but you might take time when you get home tonight or sometime to read it. Josiah was a man who was born into a family and into an era where they didn't even know the law. And he tried to worship God when he didn't know the law. He'd heard of God. And so he had taken out some of the false idols out of the temple, but he didn't know much about God. Well, one of the people was cleaning, one of the priests or Levites was cleaning the temple, and they found a long-lost copy of the law. And they brought it, and they read it in front of the king. And when King Josiah read it, and of course this is the first exposure in his entire life to Scripture, and he read, and it was read to him, he realized that they were under judgment because of sin, so he tore his clothes. Now remember, in those days, your clothes were a lot more expensive per suit of clothes. In the buying power of today, a pair of clothes that you would have on would be worth about $2,500 to $3,000. So to tear your clothes is, it's very expensive. For a king to tear his clothes was, basically catastrophic. And he said, boy, God's wrath is on this place, so please find a prophet, if you can find a prophet of God. And they were hard to come by because a lot of them had been persecuted and slain. And he said, I want to see what God wants us to do. And they found a woman. She was the only one, because there were no men prophets. Huldah was her name, and they called her, and she said, well, because this king has softened his heart and repented, I'm going to judge Judah, but not in his day. And when Josiah found this out, he instituted a huge reform. They just went throughout the territory knocking down all these idols, and they held a huge Passover, the biggest Passover. Actually, it was bigger than in Samuel's day or David's day. This man had a tremendous heart for God, and with very little knowledge, which shows you that, it's not the amount of exposure or not the so-called the heritage that you have that makes the difference, the heart. This man was wide open to God's word. As soon as he heard it, he acted upon it. However, the great evil of Judah's past kings, Manasseh and Ammon, who preceded Josiah, left Josiah's reforms producing only a surface repentance in the people. Josiah repented, but the people didn't. They kind of went along with the king because he was all excited about the scriptures, but they weren't really there. So from various details in Zephaniah's prophecy, historians conclude that he wrote it after these reforms were instituted and Judah's surface repentance had begun to become visible. So Zephaniah pronounced divine judgment on Judah for her spiritual complacency in verses 1 to 18. First of all, God pronounced judgment on Judah for her continued idolatry in verses 2 through 5a. Let me start reading at verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, or Hezekiah if you want to pronounce it, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and animal. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea, the stumbling blocks with the wicked, and I will cut off the man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, the name of the Chemarims with the priests, and then that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and then that worship and that swear by the Lord and also swear by Malcolm. Okay, what's going on here? Zephaniah announced that God's coming destruction would destroy the animal life forms that the people of Judah idolatrously worshipped, along with the idolaters who worshipped them. This is why God is destroying the animals. It's not because God doesn't like animals. I mean, if he didn't like animals, he wouldn't have made them. He made the creatures, all of these creatures. But people were worshiping these animals, and these were stumbling blocks. So he's going to cut off the stumbling block along with the people who were creating the problems. This is a real good lesson. If there is an object around the house or an object in our life that is actually something that trips us up in relationship to God, that's something that's a stumbling block, and God wants us to get it out of our lives. To some people, it's a guitar that gets them off. You know, not all people. But, you know, there could be any kind of an object. And in those days, they were worshiping these animals, so God wanted them removed. He also pronounced destruction on the idols of Baal that still remain, despite Josiah's reforms, along with the destruction of the Chimerim, or these false priests of Baal. And then Zephaniah pronounced the destruction of star worshippers in Judah. From the last part of verse 5, God also pronounced judgment on those who mixed idol worship with his true worship in pagan syncretism. And that's a common form of idolatry in third world countries today. The last part of verse 5, them that worship and swear by the Lord, and also who swear by Malcolm. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a pastor of an evangelical church, I think it's in South Korea, who has tried to mix a form of Buddhism with the evangelical faith. That's syncretism, and that's something that's an abomination to the Lord. But he has a huge church. There must be 20, 25,000 people in it. It's in South Korea. So we've got to watch out for this type of a problem. Then third, God pronounced judgment on those who departed from him for false religions. Verses 6 through 8. And them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Hold your peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and he has bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Let me describe what is going on here. Zephaniah pronounced God's judgment on those who turn back from having made a pretense under Josiah's reforms of turning to the Lord, but those who had not really turned to God in their hearts. And God's prophet also pronounced judgment on the king's sons who had chosen to wear pagan apparel, a sign of apostasy since the Jews' clothing with its blue ribbon had spiritual significance. And now, God is not specific in regards to our clothes today as he was in Judah's day, although God wants us to be properly clothed in a way that it's not tripping up other people in regards to our testimony and so forth. Obviously, there are rules and regulations in our culture that determine, you know, a person should be, whether you would view a person as properly dressed or inadequately dressed. I don't believe, as a pastor, in drawing tight lines on this. There are some churches that have all sorts. They've got the neckline rule. They've got the hem rule. I think we have to use common sense in regards to these things. But in those days, they were wearing clothes that were signaling that they were worshiping the false gods. And that's what God was after. They were wearing clothes indicating that they were pointing towards idolatry. And that was an abomination to the Lord. So, God's prophet pronounced judgment on these kings, on these kings' sons. And God pronounced judgment on those who rushed to people's houses to steal, avoiding the threshold in order to avoid provoking the gods who supposedly guarded the house. In verse 9, it's kind of thick in the King's English, but let me read it. In the same day also I will punish all those that leap over the threshold, literally, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. It was believed that if you stepped on the threshold and you had come with a bad activity in mind, that what would happen is the God who was supposedly protecting that particular house would come after you, and it would be a bad omen. So they would leap over the threshold. There are still people to do this today. I've seen sometimes in baseball games when a manager comes out to see the pitcher, he feels it's bad luck to step on the foul line, so he steps over the foul line, makes a big point, because he wants to win the game. Actually, that goes back to paganism. A lot of people don't recognize it, but it does. It's interesting. I don't think managers are aware of that today, but that's what's going on. But God was going to go after these people in those days who were intentionally worshiping these pagan gods because of this. Then Zephaniah pronounced judgment on those who had settled on their lees. And this is an allusion to the settled sediment and wine that here pictures complacency. Verse 10, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be in the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will do no good, not do good, neither will he do evil. In other words, God doesn't care. He's not going to punish us. He's not going to bless us. Big deal. Apparently, we had the same problem today as they had back in those days. They hadn't seen God act in their particular generation, so they said, God's off. He's having a vacation somewhere. He doesn't care. That's complacency. That's very, very dangerous, because what that does, it opens up a person to go down a long, slippery slope. Rebelling against the Lord. And that's what the Lord is after in these particular people at this time. Well, God then declared widespread destruction for Judah at the hands of Gentile invaders. Verses 13 to 18, therefore their goods shall become booty, their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hastens greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastefulness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpets and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon them, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither shall their silver nor their gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. So, very serious announcement of God's judgment. Well, having given this warning, this foreboding warning of this huge judgment that is going to be coming to complacent Judah, Zephaniah called the nation to repent in chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. First of all, he called the nation of Judah that had no sense of shame for its extensive sinfulness to gather together for national repentance before God's severe punishment arrived. Let me read that. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O nation not desired, or a nation that does not feel shame. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Then he called the meek who revered and heeded the Lord to maintain their true repentance. The first part of verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye who are meek of the earth. See, there were a few people who had repented. These people had become meek. They'd humbled themselves before the Lord. And so he told them, he encouraged them, you stay there. You retain your meekness before the Lord, you who have wrought his judgment. And then he called them to three things, seek righteousness, seek meekness, seek the Lord. So they're supposed to seek the Lord, the first three, the first part, then seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. That's the same message that the Lord had given through Habakkuk that we just read. Because of faith, they would be saved in the battle that was coming. So he called them to seek the Lord, seek righteousness, seek humility. And for seeking the Lord in true repentance, God would shelter them from his wrath. Zephaniah called the nation of Judah that was guilty of idolatry, syncretism, false repentance, apostasy, greed, and materialism, topped off with complacency about these sins. He called them to repent, and that by seeking God in his righteousness and deep humility to escape God's impending judgment. So may we never become complacent about our spiritual standing before the Lord, but humbly seek his righteousness, his word, and his help to avoid his discipline and gain his blessing. I was very encouraged today by some wonderful things that happened. We have two men who are going to be joining the church next Sunday. And I was encouraged by listening to them. Of course, the board examines these men, these people who want to be members of the church. But these men had come in, And both of them recognized that, you know, they had a long ways to grow in regards to their knowledge of the Word and application of it, but they both indicated how they were wanting to apply the Word in their lives. They really mean business with the Lord, getting on to obey the Lord. One of the men talked about applying it in his family life. He wants to start reading the Scripture with his wife and so forth and get into the Word that way. Another man is just, he said, I came to the church. I've been looking for a church for a long time, and here's a church that focuses on the Bible. That's what I want. And he's learning about that. And the humility of these men, they weren't pretending to know everything. They came, wanted to join the church because they felt this is where the Lord wanted them to be. And they were both very humble. It's a very refreshing thing to see that type of thing. That's what the Lord's looking for. A gentleness, a meekness, a humility, and a mind that is open to the Word. I was also encouraged by the board and how the board handled the situation too, because they were trying to be extremely honest. You know, we're supposed to make sure that only saved people and, you know, people who really want to be a part of the body are becoming members. And of course, we're human beings. We don't have perfect judgment, so we have to depend upon the Lord. And I know throughout the service and throughout the day we were in prayer, various ones of us, about, you know, showing wisdom in regards to the judgment we were going to have to make in regards to the parties and asking the Lord's wisdom. And so it was really a blessing. Sometimes, you know, I wish we could record these. Of course you can't, because, you know, sometimes we get into very sensitive areas and we don't want to do that. But it's such a blessing to see this going on in the body here and people who are going to be joining the church as well. But that's what God's looking for. And when there's a humility there, there's an openness to the Word of God, there's an honest desire to want to grow, that's something that pleases God. That's not the complacency. The complacency is where a person gets a little too big for his britches, as we say. He just becomes a little too high and mighty and thinks he's too spiritual, and he kind of owns the block, so to speak, and he settles back on his lees, as they say. That's where we're getting into trouble. But God help us to be very, very considerate of the Lord and to revere the Lord. If we're in the position where we recognize we've got a ways to go and there's a healthy respect for the Lord, that's a healthy position. When we lose that healthy respect, we're in trouble.